John chapter 3, verse 36. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. God, I thank you just for allowing us to be here to be able to sing together, to pray together, just to fellowship with each other. And God, that we can come together and do all that, worshiping you, giving praise to you and honor to you, glory to you. So God, we pray that now you would glorify yourself, that you would make yourself known through your word. God, that your word would come forth with full conviction, God, that you would just strengthen us and encourage us through it. So God, I pray that I would decrease right now so that Christ may increase. God, that you would be with my mind and help me just to speak the truths alone that you would have me to speak. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this verse has actually struck me for several months and has constantly been on my mind a lot. And so that's why I decided to preach from it today. And so here in this section, we're getting to the end of John the Baptist's ministry. And it's almost as if he's passing the baton on to Christ, because you have the crowds coming together and saying, hey, what about this man, this Jesus? He's baptizing people, you know. And so in John, so he's saying, hey, yeah, look to him. That's who I've been pointing to all along. So John's whole ministry was to make ready the way of the Lord, to prepare the path of Christ's ministry. And so John, he even starts out right before this, giving reasons to why they should look to Christ, why they should believe what he's saying is true. So in those verses before, starting in verse 31, he gives five reasons why to look to Christ, why to look to Jesus and to believe what he's saying. In verse 31, John's saying, I'm from earth, but Jesus is from heaven. So don't believe me, because that which is from above is above all. So Jesus, because he's from heaven, is above all. So listen to him. Listen to what he has to say. Verse 32, it says, Jesus testified from first hand what he has seen and heard. So John's ministry was just, you know, sharing, ministering, witnessing what he has been revealed. But Christ has witnessed firsthand with the Father from eternity past. So he has seen and heard these things he speaks. So not only is he from heaven and above all, but also he is seen and heard these things that are true. He is a first-hand witness, so listen to him. And then, because of that, verse 33, he's basically saying what he speaks is true. What God has said is true. And then 34, Jesus has been given the Spirit without measure, without withholding back, the full capacity. So he is full of the Spirit. He has an abundance of the Spirit. So listen to him. And then all things have been given to Jesus by the Father. In verse 35. So he's saying, here's the reasons why y'all need to listen to what he has to say. Start following him. Listen to this man. He is the Christ. He is the one that I have been saying, make ready the way of the Lord. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And so that's his whole ministry. That's his point. And so as he's finishing up his ministry, he gives his last testimony, and then he comes to a conclusion. And that's where we'll start today, is this conclusion. He basically gives two alternatives or two comparisons, a contrast of two things. So in verse 36, we see this comparison. You see the comparison of believing and disobeying, and eternal life and the wrath of God. And so the main point I want us to see today is this, the contrast that you see here, the two sides of this that you see, the believing and the disobeying. So, and how that applies to our lives, to see that believing really is obeying. They're the same thing. So let's start with verse 36. He who believes. What does it mean to believe? If you believe something, it means to be persuaded. You're convinced without a doubt that it is true. Right? If we believed that this room was on fire, what would we all do? We would all head for the exit door, right? It's going to cause us to do something. If we're convinced of something, we're going to react to whatever we're convinced of. So someone who believes is convinced, they're persuaded, they know it's true without a shadow of doubt of their mind, right? Just like the song in Shrek Kids, right? Now I'm... So that's when we get to the next part. He who believes what? In the Son. John is saying to believe in the Son. Believe that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the promised one. He's the seed, the one we've been waiting for. So, and that's why John just gave those reasons to believe what Jesus is saying. Because he wants us to believe him. He wants us to know that he is the one. He's the promised one. Right? And so, He's saying we need to understand that this is the true one. That's also like 1 John. He starts out in 1 John saying, hey, we've seen these things, we heard these things, listen to what we have to say. These testimonies are true because we firsthand witness that Jesus is the Christ. So, we must believe that Jesus is the Son of God that has been promised from the very beginning, from even Genesis 3:15. He's the promised seed, the promised one. But then also, we must know that there are many false Jesuses out there as well, which is why we need to look to the Scriptures, why we need to listen to the testimonies of the apostles, why we need to trust the Scriptures alone to see who this Jesus is. Right? We've mentioned in several messages about a man that anytime somebody tells him he believes in Jesus, what does he say? Which one? Which Jesus? There are many false Jesus out there, even today, right? You got the Jesus of the Mormons believing in Jesus. Even Muslims believe in Jesus, but they believe he's just a prophet, right? You got the health, wealth, and prosperity Jesus, who you just come to him, he gives you what you want. But who exactly is this Jesus that John's pointing to, that the Scriptures are testifying, that the apostles have written about, have been witnesses about? So we know that not today only have there been other Jesus or other Gospels. Paul even points it out, so in his day and in multiple churches, to the church of Corinth. He says, for if one comes and preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, so there's another Jesus, obviously, or you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel, so a different gospel's even out there, which you have not accepted. To the Galatians, he starts out saying, I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. So there is a different gospel even there, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and wanting to distort the gospel. So the Jesus that John is testifying about, pointing to, he has been distorted. So we must look to the Scriptures, to the Word of God, to know that what we believe about Jesus. So we can't just say we believe in Jesus or we believe in the gospel. What exactly is it that we believe in? Or who exactly is it that we believe in? So believe in Jesus, but which one? John the Baptist is saying, believe in this man right here. Believe in the Jesus of the Scriptures. And the one that Jesus just spoke in chapter 3, 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That Son right there that was given by the Father. Believe in Him. That whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Believe in the Son in verse 17. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. He's the Son that we must believe in. John 5:39 teaches us that it's not the Scriptures that saves us. We don't search the Scriptures so that we may just gain knowledge. We search the Scriptures because of who they testify about. It's who they testify about that saves us, not the Scriptures themselves. That's what he says in John 5:39. You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me. And then for verse 46 and 47 in chapter 5, he says, for if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. So at the time, you had all these people, all these Pharisees, they believed the law of Moses, right? They were looking for the promised one. But they were not believing Him that Jesus is the promised one. So he's saying, look to the Scriptures because they testify about the Son. They testify about this Jesus in whom we must believe. Jesus even tells us these too, right? At the end of Luke. Luke chapter 24, the last chapter. He says, now He said to them, these are My words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about Me in the law, Jesus saying all these things in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, they were all written about Me and they must be fulfilled. So, we know where we get this Jesus. We know how to find out who this Jesus is. It's in the Scriptures. It's who they're all testifying to. So we're to believe in the Son of the Scriptures, the one from whom, through whom, and to whom are all things, the only begotten Son of God, God incarnate, the God-man who became flesh, who became one of us, who became our substitute, who bore our sin. Even though He lived a perfect life of obedience to the Father, He was without sin. He bore our sin. He took on our sin. He died upon the cross, taking on the wrath of God, taking on the punishment that you and I deserve. That's the Jesus we believe in. That's the Jesus John is pointing to. That's the Jesus that the Scriptures are pointing to, that they are testifying about. So He made Him, the Son, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. So what are we to believe? We believe in the Son of God. We believe in Jesus, the one who came to take away the sins of the world, the one who died on the cross and took our place, who died for my sin, who died for your sin. He is the one we must believe. No other Jesus. If you hear of a Jesus or a gospel that is contrary to this one, to the Scriptures, flee from it. Call it out. Rebuke it. So do you believe in Jesus? Are you convinced without a shadow of a doubt that He died for your sins? If so, if you're convinced of it, what are you going to do? You're going to come. You're going to call out to Him. You're going to be persuaded that you are perishing. You're going to be persuaded that the wrath of God is upon you if you don't believe in Him. I remember, I think it may have been Trevor, he sent a video of Paul Washer being interviewed by a group of college kids. And in that video, he shared this story, I think he was in Alaska maybe, of this big old man who walked into the church. He said, he's a man's man type man. He walks into the church. Paul had given the message of the gospel. And he comes up to the man afterwards and saying, you know, what's wrong? Something about the countenance of his face. He just looked down. The man, he pulled out this envelope and it pulled it out and had some pictures of like his bones and had black spots on it. He's like, I'm dying. The doctors told me I'm dying. And so something was troubling. And Paul mentioned how he said, well, did you listen to my message? Did you understand it? He said, yeah, I listened. I understood. But Paul's like, well, do you believe? Do you know? He said, I don't know. I don't know how to believe. I mean, anybody can understand what you got to say. But the thing was, he wasn't convinced in his heart. And so Paul, what did he do? He sat down with the man. He said, look, I'm going to cancel my flight. I'm supposed to go back tomorrow. And we'll do one or two things. We'll sit here and we'll go through the scriptures until either one, you're saved, or two, you die. Paul was willing to do that with them. So what do? They sat down and went through the scriptures. And it's the scriptures. It said, what does it say? Faith comes by hearing. We believe by hearing the word of God. We need to hear the word of God. So Paul said he walked them through all of the promises he could find in the Old Testament, New Testament. They read John 3:16, read the different verses. You know, and they go through it, and Paul would say, well, where are you at? He said, I don't know. I don't feel any different. So Paul's like, well, let's go through it again. And so he said, they get to John 3:16. And he said, the man, he said, he remembers his hands because his hands were like really big. And the man was just reading John 3:16. His hands just started shaking. And he's like, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And he said he would just kind of stutter. And he's like, I believe. He said he died for me, that whoever believes in him, he said, I believe in him. And Paul's like, well, how do you know? And the man's like, well, have you not read John 3:16? After they've read it several times. But Paul's mentioned how it's probably one of the most incredible moments in his ministry. But the point, the man was finally convinced that Jesus died for him. And so therefore, he put his faith in that. You have to be convinced. And how do you convince yourself? In the scriptures. Faith, believing, is going to come from the scriptures. The scriptures is the power of God into salvation. This gospel is the power of God. It will save you. So, if you haven't come to a place where you're convinced of that, just go home. Read the scriptures. Resolve it in your mind that you're not going to leave your room or leave these scriptures until you're convinced that He died for you. And just believe that. Just trust in that. Eternal life. He who believes in the Son has what? Eternal life. So, eternal life. Romans 5:12 through 21 gives us points to the fact that through one man, sin entered the world. And since sin entered the world, what entered the world? Death. And so through one man, since sin entered the world and sin to all men, therefore death has come to all men. So there is hope apart from death. For those who believe in Christ, who believe in the Son, they have eternal life. And this ain't just something we look forward to. Yeah, we do look forward to eternal life to the fullest. But even now, as a believer, we are experiencing eternal life because we have fellowship with God. We have peace with God. We have communion with God. We're able to walk with God. This phrase, eternal life here, is actually used, the exact phrase is used 10 times by John in this gospel. It literally means the life of the age to come. We are experiencing what's going to be in the fullest. now here on earth. As a believer, we have eternal life. But we can also look forward to when we get to experience that in the fullest, right? The new creation. One day, there will be no more death. There will be no more pain. There will be no more dying or sickness or tears or worrying. Because we have eternal life through the Son. And so, because we've believed in Him, just as we have died with Christ, we are being raised with Christ as well. So just as He lives, so we live because we have believed upon Him. And then you get the other contrast. So you got the one side where it says, he who believes in the Son has eternal life. And then notice the other side. But he who does not obey the Son. Here's the other alternative that contrasts with believing. Notice how the word is translated the opposite of what we would think. Right? It says, he who believes in the Son, but then most translations translate this as he who does not obey the Son. He doesn't say disbelief or unbelief. Now, the King James Version does translate it as believeth not. But the point is that the word to not obey, to means the exact opposite. It literally means to not be persuaded, to not be convinced. So this unbelief here, or this disobeying, is the same thing as unbelief. It's the same thing as disbelieving. So he who does not obey the Son is because they do not believe the Son. They are not convinced that He is the Messiah, that He is the one who came and died for their sins. And this contrast is what we're going to come back to as well, that I want us to see that's got a lot of application in it. And what does it say about this person if you do not obey the Son? You will not see life. The wages of sin is what? It is death. So there is the price to pay because of your sin. You are dying and you will die in your sins. You will perish in your sin if you do not believe upon the Son. And because of that, the wrath of God abides on you. It's abiding on you now. But because of God's grace, He has given you life now on earth that you may turn to Him. Believe upon Him before it's too late. Because His wrath does abide upon you, and one day it will be too late. One day you will perish in your sin if you do not believe upon Him. And God's wrath will eternally be upon you through hell. It is a serious thing to consider. The wrath of God abiding on you. So do not continue in your disobedience. Do not continue in your disbelief, your unbelief. Convince yourself of the God of these Scriptures. Convince yourself that Jesus died and rose again for your sins. So as a Christian, this is what I want us to see today. That disobedience is disobeying. That disobedience is to not be convinced of truth. It's to not be convinced of God's Word. When we sin, when we fall short, it's because we're believing a lie over God's truth. Is this not how sin entered the world? What did Eve do? She believed the lie of Satan. And therefore, she sinned. We must constantly remind ourselves of the truth of God's Word. That's what's going to cause us to obey Him. Because what we believe, we will also obey. We see the same contrast in Hebrews 3 regarding the Israelites. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 18 to 19. Look there. In Hebrews 3, towards the end of the chapter, It says, "And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient?" So we see that they were not able to enter because of what? Because of unbelief. So again, you see the contrast that unbelief was the same as disobedience. So, we must convince ourselves of these scriptures, of these truths, that we may obey the Son, that we may obey Him. That's why doctrine and life go hand in hand, right? Whatever we believe in is going to cause us to act, to do. So, it's almost, you know, I mentioned the thing of the building, even for the children. If I held out my hand with $100 bill, and said, "All you have to do is come get this." What child would not run up here and come get it if they really believed, right? Right? If you really believed in something, you would do it. And God's doing the same thing to each and every one of us. He's holding out His hand. He's saying, "Come to Me, I will give you rest." But we must believe it. We must not continue in disbelief or unobedience. We must believe that he who comes to God, that He is the rewarder of those who seek Him. If you believe that, you'll come to Him and you will seek Him. So, if we're convinced of God's Word, then we will obey it. It goes hand in hand with each other. And that's why James tells us that faith without works is dead. Right? There is no such thing as faith without works. Faith is active, it's working. That's why he says, "You show me your faith without works, I'll show you my faith by my works." Right? They go hand in hand. It's a twofold thing. There are examples all over the Scripture where we see specific examples of people acting because of what they believe. Why was Abraham willing to sacrifice his son Isaac? Because he believed what God had promised. And he believed that God was even able to raise the dead, it tells us. So he was willing to offer a sacrifice. He knew that God said, "Through you all the nations will be blessed." He knew that God said, "Your descendants will be as many as the stars in the sky." So he trusted God and therefore he was acting. He was doing. That's faith working. Rahab, why did she hide the spies? Because she believed what they told her. That they would protect her, that they would save her, that they would bring her out of that, her and her family. Go home, read Hebrews chapter 11. It's full of story after story of these great people of the faith. It even ends, for time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Japheth, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to fight, women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release so that they may obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also were stoned, and they were sawn in two, they were tempted. And it goes on and on, like, and saying we couldn't have enough time to tell all these stories. And it's, what are all these things? They're works that are being produced by what they believe. It's faith that's causing them to act. It's causing them to do. We were going through Daniel at home, and the king was about to kill everybody because nobody can interpret his dream. He wouldn't tell nobody what the dream was and still want interpretation. And when Daniel found out, you know, king was about to kill everybody, he says, "No, go tell the team, give me time, I'll interpret his dream." Why was he willing to say that? Because he believed God was going to tell him the dream. And so what did he do right after that? He went and got his companions and they prayed. They asked God for compassion. So before he even came to God, before he even got the interpretation, he believed and therefore he acted. We see that all over. We do that every day in our own lives. Whatever we believe causes us to do something. So, Alice, many of y'all seen the famous clip from Alistair Begg where it's, don't tell me how you feel, tell me what I know. But one of the things he says there, it kind of struck out to me, is the Christian life engages the minds. It's whatever we are believing, whatever minds are set on, whatever we are convinced of, is going to direct our lives, is going to guide us. So we need to engage our minds in the truths, in the Scriptures, in the Son. And so how do we do that? How do we continue to engage our minds? Colossians gives us some advice there. It says, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. So he's given us practical things. Set your mind, engage your mind on the things above. Look to the things of heaven. If you keep focusing on the things of this world, it's going to bring you down. It's going to cause you to worry. It's going to cause you to be in distress. But we are to look to Christ. We are to look to eternity. To look to the resurrection. And he also says later in the same chapter, chapter 3 in Colossians, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom. And then, what are we supposed to do to each other? It says, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Sing songs to yourselves. Flood your mind with truth. That's why the songs were written. Psalms were ways that people could memorize God's truth. Okay? Or the Proverbs, same thing. They're little Proverbs. They're easy to remember. But we sing because it reminds us of truths of God. We need to learn hymns, sing hymns to each other, admonish one another, speak truth to one another, as was just preached in the last Ephesians sermon. So the Word needs to richly dwell within our mind. It needs to flood our mind. We need to be thinking about God's truth, His promises, because they're pointing us to Christ. The more we think about them, the more we have them on our mind, the less we're going to disobey, the less we're going to sin. I mean, really, think about that. Have you ever been tempted and then you just sit there as a Christian, think about a promise of God, think about what Christ has done, and fallen into temptation as you're thinking about that? It's impossible. If you're constantly reminded of what He's done, who He is, it's going to be easier to flee temptation. Constantly remind yourself of His promises. Be like the psalmist. The psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul. When you get up in the morning, you don't feel like reading your word. What do you say? Bless the Lord, O my soul. Tell yourself, bless the Lord. Why? And he says, forget none of His benefits. So, bless the Lord because of all He's done. Be reminded of what He's done. Remind yourself of all His goodness, of all His mercy and His graciousness and His compassion. Or even as the Lord says, man shall not live on bread alone, but by what? By every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. How often do any of us go a day without eating? Unless we're fasting. I don't think I ever have. Why? Because I feel like the food's good for me. My stomach growls. I get hungry, and so I eat. Does your soul, does your mind hunger for the Word of God? Do you really believe that you need it? Are you convinced that you cannot survive without the Scriptures? Do you really believe that it says they are a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path? Do you really believe that they will guide you, that they will direct you? If so, what are you going to do? You're going to be in them daily. So force yourself to get in the Scriptures, to be active. To be active in obeying and believing what He has said. Justin mentioned in his sermon a couple weeks ago from the Psalms, like, there is no gluttony with the Word of God. You can have all you want. It's a full buffet. Braden loves buffets, even though we don't get many of them. Go eat all you want of it. Take of it. It's good for you. It's needed. And it will cause us to obey Him as we believe it, as we're convinced of it. So that's one application that we could see from this. Be in the Scriptures. Trust in them. Because they're going to guide our thoughts. They're going to guide what we believe in. Be in prayer. Do you believe that God desires for you to come to Him? To call out to Him? To tell you your desires, your wants, your needs? Do you believe that He will give you if you ask? It says he who has not because he asks not. Like, if we really believe that God hears us, that He cares for us, that He wants to give us our needs, that He desires communion with us, we're going to pray to Him. I once heard one preacher said he could tell you what kind of Christian a man is by listening to his prayer life. A Christian, someone who's convinced of the Scriptures, who believes in the Scriptures, who believes in the Son, is going to pray. Prayer is an act of just surrendering yourself, right? John just tells us before this section, I must decrease that He may increase. If we want an increase, humble ourselves, go to Him, rely on Him. The more we rely on Him, the more we're going to come to Him, the more we're going to pray to Him. So be in prayer, right? Jesus even tells us that we pray so that our will is not done, but the Father's will. So it's going on. We pray that we would do the will of the Father, not our own. We want to be obedient to Him, so we need to pray. What about fellowship with one another? So yeah, we need the Scriptures, we need to pray, but we also need each other. I read a book a long time ago, back when I was in LeCount, but it was called Jesus Loves the Church and So Should You. Like, God has given us the church as a means of grace. Yeah, the church is there to establish His kingdom, to spread the good news, but we're also here for each other, to encourage one another, to admonish one another. And so we're commanded. Do you believe what He commanded you? To not forsake the assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near? Do you believe that you can be an encouragement to somebody? Do you believe that somebody can be an encouragement to you? If so, you're going to be in their lives. For your spouse, encourage your spouse. Let your spouse encourage you. Y'all need to be speaking truth to each other. To your children, speak truth to them. Maybe they'll even speak truth back to us. We need it. We can learn a lot from our children, just as much as they can learn from us. Hebrews 3, the beginning even tells us why we need to encourage. It says, encourage one another day after day, so as long as it's called today. Why? So that you will not fall into the deceitfulness of sin. So your hearts will not be hardened. We need encouragement. We're not made to go through this life alone. Yes, sometimes by the providence of God that happens, but God has graciously given us a body, a local body of friends that we can encourage one another and pray for one another and be there for one another. So the more we believe that God has given that to us, the more we're going to use that. The more we're going to help each other. So, be in the Scriptures, believe in them, having them affect your mind, convincing yourself, be in prayer, be in fellowship. Also, be in the ministry. All of us are called to be witnesses, right? We're actually talking about this the other night when the Mercers came in over, how we're every single one of us are called to be lights in the world. There are so many people out there in the darkness right now. And you are a light to them. If you are a Christian, you are a light. Do you believe that? Do you believe that they're without the light? That they're in darkness? If so, let your light shine before men. What about this? Do you believe that people are really dying and going to hell. If you truly believe someone's dying and going to hell, and you have an opportune time to share the gospel with them, what would you do? You would share it with them. Yeah, there may be fears in the way. You may worry about what they think. But if you really believe they could perish in their sin tonight, why would we not? I was actually thinking about Justin and that wreck. You know, he mentioned how dodging traffic or going back and forth, like, you know, a lot of us might be worried, what's people thinking of me running around like this, trying to... But he believed somebody was dying. He was willing to help that person, to risk his life, to risk what people was thinking, because he really believed somebody was dying. He was trying to help them. Do we really believe that someone is perishing who has not trusted in Christ? J.L. Moody was a pastor who he can never talk about a lost person without tearing up. Why? Because he believed in the reality of hell. Hell is real. And even myself, I forget that reality sometimes. The reality of hell needs to be greater than any fear of man-pleasing we have. Do you believe the gospel is the power unto salvation? Do you believe, like Paul washing that man, like Paul did? He said, let me just take him to the Scriptures. The Scriptures say, faith comes by hearing. Do you believe that? Then all you need is the Scriptures. You don't have to be some eloquent person speaking this eloquent truth or story. Just point them to the Scriptures. Read John 3:16. Share a simple truth with them. And believe that the power of God is to salvation for those who believe. So if we really believe that God saves people through His Word, we're going to be sharing the Word. If we really believe that people are dying and going to hell, we're going to be sharing the Word. We're going to witness to them. So be lights to the world. Be in the ministry. So I think, but the main thing that I want us to get here is this contrast that believing is obeying. So when we're struggling, when we're down, when we're depressed, it's because we're believing the wrong thing. We're believing something. If I'm worried about finances, it's because I'm believing that they have eternal value. Right? If I'm worried about earthly things, I'm believing that they have eternal value. I'm not believing in what the Word says to set my things, my mind on the things of heaven. If I struggle with worrying, right, it's because I don't believe what God has says that worrying does not add another day to our lives. He who clothes the flowers field, how much more will He do to us, right? Not a sparrow falls from the sky without His consent. How much more value are we than the sparrow? So if I'm worrying, it's because I'm not believing. I'm not believing in the Word. I'm not believing in the Son. So whatever you're struggling with, if there's any sin in your life, just find the promises of God. Go home, read the Scriptures. Find a truth and just say that truth over and over and over until you convince yourself of it. Until you get out of whatever struggle you're in. So, believe in the Son. Believe in whom these Scriptures are testifying about, who John is testifying about. Have eternal life. Have communion with God. Walk with God. And may we do the will of the Father, as it says in John 6. This is the will of the Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in Him will have eternal life. May we behold the Son. May we look to Him in all things. May we believe in Him and therefore obey Him. So may God help us in that. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for all that You do. I thank You for Your love and Your grace and Your mercy, how You sent Your one and only Son, Jesus, to die in our place. God, He took on our sins, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. So God, I pray that You would every day of our lives, that You would continually convince us of that truth, that You would continually convince us of all Your truths, that we would trust in Your promises. And God, that when we fail to look to You, or when we're faced with temptation, God, may You just flood our minds, engage our minds into thinking about Your truths, that we would believe upon Your promises, that we may be convinced of all that You say, because what You say is true. So God, help us. Help us to obey You, because we want to please You. We want to glorify You. We want to honor You. Help us to be lights in the world. Help us to make You known. And do it that You may be glorified, that You would receive all the glory. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.